Hey, all you nerds out there, are you looking for more wrestling content or podcasts? Then go on over to Facebook, Spotify, iTunes, Twitter, and SoundCloud, and check out NXT and We with PJ and Brett. These fellow nerds review every single NXT episode and also have their very own wrestling interview series, among other fun stuff. So go check out NXT and We today with PJ and Brett. Also, A-Rock Designs. I want to take a minute to give a quick shout out to A-Rock Designs. That is spelled A-R-O-C-K-K Designs. A-Rock Designs is ran by Ashley Rodriguez. She makes all those cool wrestling cups you see floating around. So if you want to get your hands on any custom merchandise, hit up Ashley Rodriguez at A-Rock Designs. If you can think it, she can make it. Last but not least, do you love wrestling and do you want to talk more about wrestling? Then head on over to Wrestling Review Society on Facebook. WRS is ran by my good friend Kevin Rodriguez. Kevin interviews your fave pro wrestlers every week and has the most amazing free, that's right, free giveaway. All you have to do is join Wrestling Review Society on Facebook and you could be the next big winner. This week's episode is brought to you by Design by Dunbar. If you need a logo design, flyers, e-commerce, website, or anything at all, go check out Designs by Dunbar at www.facebook.com/designbydunbar. And welcome to episode 29 of What's Up Wrestler, a podcast by nerds of wrestling. I am your host, Justin Del Rio, and my guest at this very time is the drama maker, Sterling Bond.
This is the drama maker, Sterling Bond, and you're listening to the Nerds of Wrestling podcast.
What is going on, Sterling? How you doing today, bro?
Dude, I'm doing good. I'm in a big good mood right now.
That's fantastic. I know I asked you if you go on a little earlier. You said, give me about 10 minutes. I'm finishing up my bike ride. You like to ride bikes?
Got you. That's the only way I can stay in shape, man. Gyms are closed. It's jumper open. It's bike rides. That's
yeah.
How we do it.
Yeah.
That's how we do it.
I like how you're, man, staying active. What was that?
I said I got a nice little specialized out there.
There you go. I have not been working out during this whole quarantine, unless you count putting the soda on my nightstand and taking it back and forth. You know, work out the biceps.
Very nice. Got a White Claw right here.
There you go. Black cherry lime. There you go. What else have you been up to during this whole time?
Just trying to stay busy, you know. I live in Minnesota right now, so just trying to stay busy with no wrestling, because since I was 16, wrestling's been my life every weekend, all during the week. So, let's say, first time in like 6 years now, so it's kind of rough, you know, but make it work. Have been wrestling, haven't been doing the shoot job, and on top of that, you know, I've been doing 40-hour weeks at the shoot, so got so much time in my hands. I've been just hitting projects up, getting things done that I haven't been able to get done in the past.
Nice, bro. Have you been keeping up with, like, the current product with WWE and AEW has been putting out?
Yeah, definitely. Love it, dude. I'm a huge fan of the game. So during this time, it's kind of rejoiced my inner fan because, you know, like I said, 40-hour shoots, you know, wrestling, training all week, doing it all, working out, cooking. You know, there's not that much time to, you know, watch 2-3 hours a day of whatever's on. So now, you know, I got no excuse. I'm catching it all. Impact, MLW, AEW, the E. So, you know.
You're watching all of it. Did you watch the Taker documentary yet?
Yeah. No, Taker, yeah.
Dude.
It's good stuff, dude.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah. But I'm a big fan of these documentaries, dude. Ever since I was a kid, you got the 3-disc sets, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
When you were a kid, those 3-disc sets?
And yeah.
Disc one was always like a documentary, you know?
Yep. You know, it's
this one was a documentary.
It's dependent. It's dependent. Yeah, it's dependent on what you bought though. Like, you know, I think, God, look at my collection. I think I have like, you know, I have like the CM Punk, Rey Mysterio. I think I have a Shawn Michaels one over there somewhere, but I know I have the CM Punk one for sure.
No. Yeah, no, dude. Disc two, disc three were usually the matches, but disc one was always, you know, the documentary most of the time. And yeah. Growing up, man, that was my favorite disc, you know?
Yeah, because...
My favorite part.
Yeah, because you get to find out, like, you know, like, about them, life before wrestling and whatnot, you know, and everything. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was always, like, a cool aspect.
The journey, man. I'm in love with the journey, you know?
100%. Who are some wrestlers that you always were a fan of?
Growing up, man, I would gotta say Michaels, definitely all-time favorite, with a shadow of a doubt. Michaels, once I first was introduced to TNA, AJ Styles, you know, became, you know, my guy, man. I love Styles. So, yeah, Styles, Shawn Michaels, Orton, Punk, I guess, into the later years, Punk, Del Rio, Sheamus.
Del Rio. Okay.
Yeah. Del Rio, dude, for some reason, I was addicted with his catchphrase in sixth grade.
Oh, Lord. God.
Addicted, man.
Oh, my Lord. Wait, how old are you?
I'm 22.
Oh, okay, I'm 25. Yeah, Del Rio started wrestling when I was in 11th grade, around there.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm pretty sure you could imagine all the questions people are asking me in school when he first started wrestling. Are you guys related? What? Who? So at the time when Alberto Del Rio first started wrestling, I wasn't watching. I stopped watching around that time, and I was really confused on what they were asking me, like, hey, are you related to Alberto Del Rio? I'm like, who the hell is that? So I didn't know. You
That's
know?
Funny.
Yeah, and then I started watching, and then I was like, wait, yeah, no, this guy's Mexican, I'm Puerto Rican. A little bit of a difference there.
A little different.
Exactly. Yeah, you read my mind.
He's on rough times right now. Hopefully, you know, he keeps his head up and keeps moving and things start turning around for him.
Yeah. I mean, hey, we'll see what happens. But you're honestly the first person I've ever heard say they're a fan of Alberto Del Rio. I'm like, oh, interesting.
Yeah, dude. Especially when I hit, like, middle school, that's when, you know, you got more access to, like, the internet and, like, you know, just, like, kind of picking what you want to do throughout the day, you know?
Yeah.
So I just watch wrestling, you know, just watch wrestling all day, you know, just whenever I watched everything. I started getting into Ring of Honor around middle school. So, yeah, dude, been a big fan. I guess also if you look at, like, tag team-wise, if I was going to, you know, the tag teams, you know, I've been inspired by tag team wrestling since I was a little kid. You got to look at, you know, RIP Shad Gaspar.
Yeah.
Crime Time, dude. Growing up, man, that was the team, man. That was the team.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Crime Time back when I was in middle school.
Dude, yeah, I've been watching, you know, a lot of their stuff lately, and I didn't know, dude, they never won the tag titles,
which is very shocking. I had to think for a minute. Like, were they ever tag team champions? And
yeah,
they're like, no, I don't think so.
They stole Trevor Murdoch and Lance Cade's belt.
Yeah.
So they had, cause I had the vision of them, like, having it, like, around their waist and holding it when I was a kid. So I always thought they were, you know, tag champs. But, dude, that's, man.
Yeah, and you were
definitely one of the best.
Oh, 100%. You look back and go, like, damn, like, they were 100% deserving of those titles.
Yeah, vignettes. There's no tag team in that time. They had better promos and better vignettes than them.
Oh, without a doubt, bro. Without a doubt. You say you're a big tag team guy. Like, who are some other tag teams that, like, really, like, you know, grabbed your attention?
Well, like I said, I was a big Shawn Michaels guy. So DX, man.
Of course.
I was that kid suck it, you know, six years old, you know. Every, you know, dude, I was a wild child, man. In school, you know, someone says something I don't like, you know, that was my thing.
Just like suck it,
you know. Yep. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, it's not on TV, you know.
Dude, we just said that at the same time. That was excellent.
Yeah, dude. No, dude. It's great stuff. DX was my thing, man. Love DX. Had the DX backpack, shirt,
jersey. I'm jealous. I'm jealous of that. I never had that shirt and jersey. I begged my mom to get it for me, but she's like, yeah, no. Because of what the saying said.
Every I was
like,
Christmas, I would get a care package or just WWE shop. You know, that was, so I was grateful for that. You know, I was grateful for that.
What are like? So. Yeah, man. Like I'm really jealous of that actually right now. Like I'm like really jealous. You got, you know, you had the chance to get the jersey, the shirts. Like I never had. I always wanted those DX jerseys.
Yeah, dude. As a kid, I wasn't into anything else. So it was just if I was gonna get anything, you know, it'd be some WWE merch. Cause like I've heard a thing about. What did kids get when, like as like presents when they were kids? Like, what do you remember? Like, friends that you know have like gotten.
What do I remember? What friends I've gotten? Oh man.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just you know, normal stuff like you know, like a PlayStation game. You know, a new TV or something. You know, I always got like the same. You know, not the same stuff, but like. You know, like, you know, some movies, you know, a few wrestling DVDs, maybe like a few action figures, like, you know, a toy belt from Toys R Us.
Yeah. I'm trying to think that I don't really, I guess, I don't know what kids got. All I got was wrestling stuff. So it was just always wrestling 24/7, man. I loved it. Loved it.
So you started watching wrestling at a very young age. Like you said, you were six.
Dude, younger, man, my mom was a big wrestling fan, so, you know, yeah, so I was lucky, you know, she was a big rock fan, and she had me in 98, and she was a teenager, she was like 17 when she had me, so that's like the mix of the attitude era, that she was the biggest fan, so it was wild, she was a wild fan, so 99, I think I was like about one, SummerSlam came here to Minneapolis, and she brought me to the show.
No way.
Yeah. So I guess the first wrestling show, you know, I've been to was 99 SummerSlam. So
you were one.
That's pretty dope.
That's fantastic, bro. Dope.
Yeah, 1 year old, man.
Holy shit. Old.
And she said I didn't cry at all, so.
Hey. That's,
yeah, loud energy. Yeah.
That is awesome, man. You know, like. What really, like, how old are you when you decided, like, okay, this is what I really want to do?
Dude, it sounds cliche, but like everyone says, you know, but it's day one, man. It's day one. Wrestling's been the only thing I've thought about. 24/7. This is what I want to do. Like I said, I was a wild child. So school wasn't, you know, it wasn't like I'm going to do something with the school stuff. I already knew when I was, you know, when I was in school, I'm not doing any job. I'm not going to be a cop, firefighter. I'm not going to be a teacher, librarian. You know, I'm not doing any of that, you know? I'm being a pro wrestler. I'm not, you know, I played sports. So football, basketball, when you're a young kid, you kind of like, oh, I can maybe do that. But it was like, nah, dude, this is what I'm doing. I remember I joined the wrestling team. I was sixth grade, joined the wrestling team. And, dude, I was trying to, like, cut promos and stuff and, like, in the first day of practice, trying to cut promos, like, trying to talk about spots that we can do. Because, like, when we first started, we were just doing drills and stuff. So I was like, all right, this is cool. And I was like, so, you know, when are we going to start, you know, like, cutting promos? You know? It's day one, so I'm like, okay, we're not gonna start doing bumps or probably strikes yet, but we can at least do promos, right? You know? So
oh my god!
It is funny how like naive I was. But,
wrong wrestling, so. Bro.
Wrong one, dude. So yeah, I did that for about you know a year, and then the next year I was like, yeah, definitely not my thing, but. A couple of neighborhood kids, you know, we were like, let's get this going. Let's get this backyard wrestling stuff. I think we saw some stuff on YouTube, you know. And I think I just got the Jeff Hardy, speaking of DVDs, I got that Jeff Hardy DVD, Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy, the Hardy Boy documentary, whatever. Yeah. And he talks about how they did the backyard days and everything, and how they set up rings with like yard holes and stuff, and wood they found, and supplies from all over the yard. And I was like, dude, we can do that. So we didn't really have as good as a ring as them, you know. But yeah, dude, we did our thing. No one got too hurt, you know.
Yeah, thankfully. Yeah, oh yeah, it's bound to happen.
Yeah, but we're just wild, reckless kids, and we did it for a couple of years, and then till freshman year, man, you guys know what those smart boards are, right?
Of course.
Dude. So freshman year, this chick in the class is just like, she's just, I don't even know. I think she saw something or heard something, because no one really at school knew, you know, after school that we all did this stuff. You know, it wasn't like a talked about thing, you know. So someone puts our stuff on the smart board, you know.
Oh my
puts
God.
Puts our YouTube channel on the smart board. Yeah. So, and it played for a good like 10 minutes. And I'm like, why is no one shutting this off? And so, you know, at that age, you know, people don't really understand.
Yeah.
You know? And it's kind of, I feel like as those kids, they instantly, like, if you're not a part of that world, you don't know what this is. You instantly think it's weird and stupid and what the heck. So, yeah, a bunch of kids, you know, after that, ever see me in the hallway, hey, you wanna wrestle? And I would do, you know, it's kind of like a gimmick. Not really a gimmick, because this is, you know, real life. This is me. But I would kind of be a little psycho in the videos. And they would start doing, like, the persona that I put on the video. They would start doing it to me. I didn't really care. But some of the other kids, you know, were like, we got to stop doing this. So then they stopped doing it. And then the kid that was running the YouTube channel and filming everything deleted everything
off
the channel. Yeah, it was kind of weird, man. It was kind of weird. But that's what I kind of sucked, because I'm like, dang, dude, for my documentary, that was gold footage I had, you know? That was gold footage I had. That was like four years of my life. You just deleted. So I was definitely a little pissed.
Yeah, definitely. I'd be pissed off too, man. So, you know, like you were saying about that story, you know, some girl in high school, she built the video on, and people were kind of like, you know, messing with you guys about it.
Yeah. Just like,
fuck them.
Just kids being kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't really care. I'm like, dude, this is my thing. I don't really care. And I was cool with everybody. So it was nothing really serious, but it was like, the kids I was kind of doing this with, or they're a little bit more insecure, kind of like, and they care about what people like think at the time, you know. But I always just gave, you know, just didn't care what anyone thought, you know. They're like, well, who cares? Like, what? Come on, you guys are losers. Come on.
Yeah, I like your attitude, bro. Yeah, no, for sure. I like your attitude. I wish I had that attitude in high school. I didn't, but you know, I tip my cap to you for having that type of, you know. You know, mentality, and just, you know, just shrugging off your shoulders, like, you know, whatever, like, y'all are talking shit, but y'all won't go in there and do what we do.
Yeah, and, dude, also, too, I was a hothead, too, so, you know, people kind of stopped, because I was like, you want a box? Like, is that what you're saying to me right now? And so I'm taking this, you know, and people stopped instantly, because, you know, they didn't want this problem, which I wouldn't want this problem either, you know.
Oh, for sure.
It's all jokes and games, but, you know, I don't, you know, like, if you really want to, you know, talk, you know, we can talk, you know.
Yeah, we can talk, bro. We can throw the hands right now. Let's go.
Yeah. Oh, you know, and so then, and that thing kind of stopped, but then it came back up. When I started actually wrestling.
Oh, really?
I started wrestling when I was about 16, started training. I found this, there was this company that ran in my hometown. It was called Primetime Wrestling.
I heard about them.
And I would go to the show, set the ring up, do the whole gimmick for about a year, and they finally started a school. But it was only one other guy. So it was just me and this other guy named Downtown Petey Brown. Actually a guy I hate actually right now, and we've been in a feud for over the last year, and next time I see him I probably will kick his face in. But you know, our path started on the same school, so you know, started doing that, started training, started, you know, figuring this stuff out, started getting, you know, started getting my feet wet, and started doing shows all around Minnesota. And then, you know, again, because I post these promos online, and kids that would, you know, see him at our school, try to say the promo, you know, that they saw, try to, like, say it back to me, you know, oh, you want to wrestle, you know, and I'd be like, dude, you want to go, we can go. I actually think I got a couple scraps over that, you know.
Really?
Kids thought it was all jokes and games, but I'm like, dude, I don't play jokes and games. I don't play that.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't fuck with you. I wouldn't be fucking with him. Y'all, I'm like, nah, he's serious business, bro. I'm gonna stay away from him.
You think this is fake, bro? This is my life. You're saying my life is fake? We're gonna have a problem. It's that easy. It's not math class, bro.
It's not math class. I love that. I love that. That's a good saying.
Simple.
Yeah, no, like, you know, when you started training, you know, I'm assuming your mom was, like, completely on board with it.
Yeah, dude, she was all game. Since day one, dude, she was all game. And she was a single mom, too. So, growing up, you know, I was super fortunate that she was able to provide, you know, the love, but also, you know, activity, sports, like, she was always there. Football, soccer, I played, basketball, whatever I got my feet wet with, you know, she was there driving to the games, the practices. She would, you know, I need new cleats, I need, you know, just the little things, you know. She was always there, and if she couldn't afford it, she would find a way, you know. She would find a way. So she would, you know, hit up family members. Oh, does anyone have any, you know, cleats laying around? Does anyone have any football, because I was a wide receiver. You got any gloves laying around? A little stuff like that. Like, she was hustling out there, you know. And we got a pretty loving, caring family, so, you know, there's always someone to help, you know, and then, you know, so I was super fortunate to have that. A lot of kids, you know, don't have that, and I was lucky that she was able to give me the love that, you know.
Mad respect to your mom, dude, like. That's fantastic, you know. Your mom sounds awesome. You're very lucky that you have someone in your family that's a wrestling fan. I'm the only person in my entire family that is a fan of professional wrestling. No one else in my family likes it.
Yeah, dude, I come from a big wrestling family, so.
Ah, you're lucky, definitely, man. I wish I did, but, you know, it's all good, though. It's all good. You know, we like what we like,
Yeah, it was never a problem. It was always on the TV, you know? Always.
That's awesome. You know, so after, you know, you started doing your training, you know, how long, you know, when did you start taking bookings?
About a year in. So I was, like, 17.
That's young.
Started taking bookings. Yeah.
Nice. Dude, and you're 21 now, and how many shows, how many promotions have you got the privilege to work for?
Yeah, dude, tons, all over the country. So I wrestled for a year. It was kind of just around Minnesota, locally. And then when I turned 18, this wrestling school opened up, like a new one. It's called the Academy School of Professional Wrestling. It was ran by Ari Daivari. It's signed by the WWE right now. Sean Daivari was a road agent for the WWE, and then had a run with Muhammad Hassan, did his thing at TNA. Ken Anderson is the head trainer and the guy that kind of does, you know, had the biggest hand in, you know, helping me own my craft in the ring, you know, putting the pieces together.
How is that school compared to the other one?
Well, the other one was... you know, it was a warehouse. Like I said, it was only me and this other guy at first. And then a couple more students came every couple months. It was good for what it is.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, the best training, but it is what it is. It was in a warehouse. This guy, you know, just ran a local promotion and was like, you know, he gave us, you know, the ring, the building and everything. So, you know, it was just something to get our feet wet, you know. And I was lucky to have that. So then when I started training at the Academy School of Professional Wrestling, I was already taking shows. I was super green to the gills, probably a little greener. And with this school, I was a little bit of ahead of the game of everybody. So that I was cool. That was nice. But I feel like I was, you know, really trained at the Academy School of Professional Wrestling. That's where I've been for the last, you know, 3 years. So
nice, man. And, you know, after you're done with that, tell us about, you know, your first, you know, actual professional wrestling match, your first time in front of an audience. Yeah. How was that?
First time was for the company I trained with at first, the Primetime Wrestling, and it was a bar show. We did a three-on-one handicap match against the champ. That was cool. Super nice. Super fun. We got double choke slammed for the finish, so that was cool. Bar packed, you know, 500 people.
Oh, Jesus.
Insane. Yeah, definitely a cool experience. And then for the whole summer, it was kind of shows like that, just bar shows all over the state, wild stuff. And then I started working with this company called AWF, and I've been there for, I would say, most of my career, definitely. I've been there for the past 3 years. And they run shows every weekend or every other weekend. So a lot of my matches have been in this company, and I've grown, you know, in this company. We've done some cool stuff. We started this faction called Zero Sympathy. It's ran by me, The System, and Crixus.
Zero Sympathy. I like that.
Yeah, the real deal. The hottest faction in the Midwest right now.
How did that faction come about?
So with life, with anything, you know, there's things that you don't like. What are you going to do? You got to change it, man.
Yeah.
You got to change it. No one's changing it for you. No one's changing it for you. So we didn't like how the company was going, the path it was going on. And the company's been a thing for over, you know, over 15 years. So we're like, we got to change this path. Because if we don't, it's not going to go down the right path. And, you know, we still got 5, 10, 15, 20 years this company's probably going to be going. So we got to make sure we change that legacy and we make it our legacy. And we have this company go in the path that we want it to go. And no one's going to stop us. So basically, we jumped everybody, beat up everybody that was in our way. The System became the general manager of the company. So now we got the GM. We got the power. We got the power. We had a couple of the titles, you know? Yeah. We were running big. We were running big. We were the matchmakers, you know? We had the hottest spot, man. We were sitting cozy. It was nice. I had a little win streak going. It was good. It was good. And then February of this year, the general manager, a member of our faction, The System, had a match against the guy I started training with, Downtown Petey Brown. And basically, with this match, it was if he lost, he would no longer become the general. He would no longer be the general manager.
Oh shit!
But if Petey lost, if Downtown Petey Brown lost, he would have to be in our faction, but, you know, not really in our faction, kind of like associate. You'd carry our bags, get our macchiatos at 8 in the morning on the dot, you know. It was, you know, pick us up from the airport.
Oh, man, I love that.
He was sitting on our meetings and write everything down, like, you know, because we were running this company, so we had business meetings, you know, all through the week, and he would have to tag along, writing things down, making sure we got everything we need to be our best. You know, that's what God put him on earth to do, though. So, you know, it was set in stone. It was set in stone. But the System lost the match. He lost the match due to the other member, Crixus. He came out there. It was a no DQ match, so it was a hardcore match. Anything goes. So I wasn't in town. I was actually in a business meeting talking over getting trio titles, six-man tag titles, because we are a trio. We are the hottest trio. Trios wrestling, as you know, it's big right now.
Yeah.
It's bigger than it's ever been.
Oh, right? Man. Yeah, oh, yeah, 100%, dude. So you were out of town, man. Like, oh, no.
Yeah, out of town, dude. I was out of town, man, trying to get these six-man tag belts in. get some nice gold around our waist, because if every weekend we're going against the best trios in the Midwest, in the country, why is there no title on the line? You know, we're going against the best competition. We're going against championship caliber competition. We need to be rewarded for it. And we got the GM spot. We got the power. So let's get this done. So I was getting that settled. And then, that big match is going on. Crixus came out to the ring, was supposed to hit downtown Petey Brown with his violin. System carrying our kids around his violin. He's a violinist, you know. Plus smashed it over that punk's head. But he chose not to. He chose to hit System with the violin. And then you know, walked away, and history speaks for itself. You know, P. Brown crawled over, you know, P. pinned him. So got the win. And then after that match, the CEO of the company, his name's Tony DiNucci. Tony DiNucci's had it out for us since day one. But because, you know, he's the CEO of the company. It's his company. He's the owner. But we were running it.
Gosh, why is he after you guys? Like, he doesn't like you guys? Like,
well, we were running it, man. He had this business, like, ideology that, like, this idea that, bro, that's not how things are running anymore. I get it. 15 years ago, you were hitting gold. I get it. But, bro, things are different. So we were taking the company to a whole new, you know, whole new universe. He didn't like that. So, and he couldn't do anything because we had the GM. Like, System was the GM. What are you going to do? You can't do nothing. So they had this match set up to kind of bait us in. But we're like, bro, that downtown Petey Brown guy is a punk. We're going to beat him. Like, this is easy. So then when System lost the match, Tony came out there and was like, this is my chance. So, came out there, he fired the System, was like, oh, you're fired, and then put him in the corner, chopped him, and threw him out of the ring. After he fired System, after you fire somebody, he's no longer an employee of your company, right?
Yep.
So, you put your hands on this guy, that's no longer an employee of your company, that's a big issue. So, we were trying to do a little lawsuit over that, things didn't go in our favor. But so now System's fired. We don't have the power anymore. Crixus is in business for himself. He was talking about how he's not appreciated. Dude, we gave this guy, he was nothing, okay? He was nothing. We gave this guy a home. We gave him a home. He became the television champ, the longest reigning television champ in the company. And he's trying to say he's underappreciated? Come on, dude. You're selfish. So he did that, man. We've kind of been on a spiral kind of down, and I haven't seen him since. And we had a big match planned March 14th, me and him. I was going to get my hands on him, put him in his place. I was going to make him suffer for what he did. And, you know, you know what happened.
Yeah.
The virus happened. The show was canceled, and I was like, dang, dude. Dang. You got lucky, man. What you got? You're lucky. So then I think it was it can't be more than 200 at first. 200 people in the same area. Then it was 100. Then it was 50. Then it was 10. So we booked the show the next week. It was March 21st we were supposed to do the show, and that was canceled. So I'm like, bro, you're real lucky. So now, you know, we don't know when we're going to do this match, but when things do come back to normal a little bit more, once we start running again, first match is booked, me and him. But also now, this is a big money match now. Everyone's saying, oh, you guys should do it, you know, without fans. Nah, dude, this is big money match. This is gonna pay the bills. What are you talking about?
I think like a match like that.
Fans,
yeah, a match like that. You have to have fans, man.
Oh, dude, his little fanboys need to be front row. When I kick this kid's face in, when I dislocate his kneecaps, they need to be front row, and they will.
Oh my god!
And they will. And he's got a stupid little man bun. I'm gonna rip off his scalp. I'm gonna rip it off his scalp, and I'm gonna say, hey, fanboys, open your hands. They're gonna open their hands up, and I'm gonna sprinkle his hair in their palm. What I'm gonna do, dude?
Damn, dude, you're dark shit.
Yeah,
you,
man.
You're a dark motherfucker. I'm angry. It's all good, man. You don't want to scare the kids now.
You ruined it. Because the fact is, dude, we are running the company, bro. So, like, for the next 10, 15 years, there's nothing else that can get us out of power. We had plans. We had a legacy guaranteed. A legacy guaranteed.
Yeah, dude.
What more do you want, dude? We had guaranteed legacy.
Shit, now guaranteed. I want to see that match.
Yeah, he ruined it, man. So, first match back, you know, I'm getting it done. It's going to be big money. So, everyone, you got to stay tuned. Got to stay tuned. Got to stay tuned for that.
I got to see it, man. But let's go back a little bit, you know, before this whole faction thing started. What are some of your favorite, you know, your matches that you competed in, you know, singles, tag team, triple threat, whatever, battle royals?
Dude, I tell you the truth, I don't got a favorite match. When I get in there, I want to hurt that dude. So I'm lucky anytime I can get into the ring and hurt somebody, dude, I'm good to go. Like I said, bro, when I was in high school, I would always, you know, get into scraps because I'm always ready to go. So this wrestling thing is the only thing keeping me out of jail because there's so many guys that like to run their mouth on the street, and I drop them instantly. Instantly I drop them. So, you know, it's the only thing that's kept me chill. I can do it in the ring. So if this coronavirus goes any longer, bro, I don't know.
I don't know either. Let's hope it doesn't.
I'm getting a little antsy over here.
Yeah, let's hope it doesn't. You know? Let's hope it doesn't.
I'm getting a little antsy over here.
Yeah, a lot of people are.
On my bike ride. On my bike ride today, people were protesting. Protesting. Dude, you don't got a hobby?
Wait,
you don't got things to do?
Protesting for this to be over, like open everything back up?
Yeah. Oh,
Jesus Christ. Were they wearing masks? Probably not.
No. There was hundreds of them. Hundreds. I'm like, bro, you guys better not. You guys got to get out of my way. And, you know, I live over here in Minnesota, so we don't got, you know, nice trails like, you know, around where I live. There's not a nice map. I'm on the road, dude. I'm on the road. So that's a little annoying, you know. But you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. So
like, but people who are doing that, it's just gonna make it, you know, worse for them.
Yeah.
You know,
I would assume so. What are you doing?
Like, go home. But, put a mask on.
People, that they have too much time on their hands.
I don't have that much time. I'm not going out protesting.
That's what I mean. Is that also too much time? They got no life.
No.
So I feel bad for them. I preach all the time. Zero sympathy. But, dude, I had a little bit for them.
This is a little bit.
You out here? Come on. But, dude, it's wild times. It's wild times right now.
Yeah.
The unknown is at all-time high.
It is, you know, but like we said, you know, you just, people got to take precautions, man. Like, you know, just do what you do. Just do what you're told to do. Just stay home. If you go out, wear a mask and stay 6 feet from each other. It's really not that complicated.
Like I said, it's not math class, dude. I get it. You had a rough time in math class, but this isn't it. It's easy.
Oh, man. Dude, I love your attitude, man. I love it, dude. You know, after this whole thing is over, this whole coronavirus thing is, you know, done, what are your plans? What is next for Sterling Bunn?
Like I said, I've been wrestling over here in AWF almost every weekend. I've been wrestling around the country, but, you know, my name's not known, really. I haven't been on the big scale. I haven't done the big shows around the country. So the next goal, dude, I'm getting out. I am taking over.
Fuck yeah, so dude.
That's all it's for me. It's that that kind of like that safety pin that I've had here, been comfortable with the bookings I have here. And it's I feel like it's time for me, you know, to spread my wings.
Especially after this, you know, like after this, like this whole, you know, pandemic thing, I feel like it was like a big eye opener for a lot of wrestlers. You know, a lot of wrestlers have that same mindset. Once this whole thing is done, I'm taking over and they're,
yeah,
you know, and that's what, and I'm like, yes, I love that attitude. Yes, that's what you gotta fucking do.
And like I was saying earlier, I got an eye on Impact. I got an eye on AEW, WWE, NXT, MLW. I got an eye on it all. So wherever I go, whenever I get that opportunity, I've been studying. I'm ready to hit that ball out of the park. I'm ready to scrap with whoever I got on the other side of that ring.
I have to ask, how is the scenery, the wrestling up in Minnesota? Is it like a major thing up there for independent?
Yeah, there's, I would say, a little bit too many companies. I would say there's too many. We got a weird problem out here. Usually guys say they don't got enough companies where they live. That's what I mean about the safety pin, because I haven't been, you know, traveling as much as I should, because we got, dude. So I live in Minneapolis.
Yep.
So you got Minneapolis, St. Paul. It's called the Twin Cities. And then you got the surrounding, like, suburbs, like, the towns are, like, 45 minutes out. It's, like, a big circle. And every Saturday, bro, there's about 3-4 shows, you know, in the Twin Cities that you know. So, it's, you can definitely hit, sometimes there's more, 4 or 5 shows. If you go a little farther out, you know, you go 1 or 2 hours out, all right, now there's 6 shows, and, you know. And then, so... we always got shows on Friday and Saturday and a couple on Sunday. So it's pretty easy just to stay booked and to stay in the ring, to stay around Minnesota. So I'm definitely going to get out of that, break that safety pin, spread my wings and be out and about.
You got to come to New England, bro. I don't know if you heard about the, you know, we're like you guys. We have a lot of wrestling up here in New England. You know, we have about a good... you know, like, all over the place.
I got an eye on you guys. I got an eye on, you know, Northeast Wrestling.
Yes.
I got an eye on Catholic Wrestling. I got an eye on Beyond. Beyond's on that bucket list.
Okay, I see it.
You don't think Beyond's on that bucket list?
Dude, yeah, Beyond's huge. Beyond is huge.
I'm coming.
Hell yeah, dude. You got to come to Connecticut, man. You know, you got to come to these shows. Definitely, I hope you do get booked. After this whole thing is over, man, I wish you all the best of luck, bro, because you know, by the way you sound, by the way you talk, dude, you're one hell of a wrestler.
Yeah, man. I'm just game. I'm just game for the game.
That's how you have to be up in wrestling, man. Dude, this was so much fun talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, it was a pleasure, man.
Yeah, man, for sure. And thank you for coming on short notice. I know I messaged you, you know, yesterday, and I asked you like a day later. I was like, hey, do you want to do it today? And you were game.
Dude, I'm always game. I'm always ready. I'm gonna shout out little things that I'm working on right now.
Yeah, go for it.
I also got a podcast. It's called Shark and the Lobster. It's like a UFC MMA podcast I do with my wife. Her name's Rachel Sabatelli. She's the Macchiato. She's also the backstage interviewer for Zero Sympathy. So if you're a UFC fan, MMA fan, you got to check out the Shark and the Lobster. Dude. I'm on TikTok. Like I said, I'm preparing for the next 5, 10, 15 years. TikTok's going to be the biggest thing.
Yeah.
The biggest thing. I'm telling you, bro. Just like how Facebook was the biggest, and then, you know, Instagram, and then, you know.
And all that.
TikTok's the thing. I'm on TikTok right now. Asher Japri, Sterling Bond, look me up. Hit me up on Instagram, Sterling Bond, Twitter, Bond Sterling. I got a YouTube channel, Sterling Bond. I'm busy posting promos, posting vignettes. I'm doing the thing. I do live Q&As on TikTok. So if you want to ask me any questions that you think of after hearing this, hit me up on there. I do that every weekend. So yeah, man. Pro Wrestling Tees. Oh, dude, what am I doing? I guess this is the first thing I should have plugged.
It's all good.
Pro Wrestling Tees, Sterling Bond. I got a couple dope shirts out there. The best. Dude, Father's Day is coming up, right? Father's Day is coming up. No better gift to get your father one of my tees. I guarantee it. You haven't seen your father smile in 5-10 years? Dude, do I got a gift for you?
I love that, dude. Excellent. Yeah,
thank you.
Anytime, man. I'll definitely stay in touch and, you know, good luck with everything and definitely hope to have you on again soon.
Dude,
all right, man. Peace out.
Same.
Yeah,
same.
For sure.
See you, bro.
Got you. Bye. And that concludes this episode on the Nerds of Wrestling podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe for more future episodes. I'm your host, Justin Del Rio. Peace out, nerds.